And that's what happened with this lady. She was in there for 4 days.
Yeah.
And what's her current situation? How long has it been since she was started?
So this patient is on, I think, about 9th cycle now. Still doing okay.
And what's going on with her counts, et cetera?
Counts normalized after one cycle, went into a CR. She was lucky. Not everybody does, but she's done well. She's still, I've repeatedly offered her transplant and she said no.
Can you talk a little bit about at least your overview of the data that we do have with this strategy?
The data with hypomethylating agents actually come from a single study. The history of venetoclax for AML goes back to a relapse refractory phase 1 study where they looked at single agent venetoclax and found, you know, in patients that were very heavily previously treated, that the drug had only limited activity to induce remissions and not such a great survival that we would say that this is head and shoulders above anything else that's available. So it was steered towards combination studies, and those have been more successful. In the frontline setting, though, there's only one published study to look at how well the drug works. And the phase 1 was published separate from the phase 2. Phase 1 was published in The Lancet Oncology this past year by Courtney DiNardo and colleagues. And she also published the phase 2 in Blood a couple months thereafter. So it shows up there. There's also a similar regimen using low-dose ARC that Andrew Wei had published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. All of these are within the last 6 months, so in the first 6 months of 2019. And they show very similar findings. The differences in these studies are minimal in terms of the patient populations. The low-dose ARC study allowed patients with prior hypomethylating agent use for MDS, but nobody could have been treated for AML prior to going on the study. So these are all untreated AML cases. And the response rates are very similar. The complete remission rates looking at either full CR with full count recovery, transfusion independence, or CRI, where the CRI largely reflects ongoing neutropenia. So the neutrophils didn't go above, say, 1,000, but they were recovering. And in general, these patients were transfusion independent and had platelets over 100. The CR and CRI combined rates on each of these studies were in the range of about 60-65%, which is very good. Have we seen that higher response rate with lower intensity therapy in patients like this with anything but 7 and 3? Pretty much never. The clofarabine data are about the closest we've seen here using lower doses of clofarabine, and that was considerably higher than low-dose ARC on a randomized comparison, but the survival was the same. So what we really need to see is that a short-term gain or a long-term gain? And that's what we are waiting for from randomized frontline studies. So there's a phase 3 study that's completed enrollment comparing hypomethylating agent. In this case, the phase 1-2 study allowed either azacitidine or decitabine, but the phase 3 is just azacitidine alone. So either azacitidine as a single agent or azacitidine being combined with venetoclax head-to-head in unfit patients who are untreated for AML. And they're not allowed prior hypomethylating agent exposure. And that study, we don't have data yet from, but we're really anxiously awaiting the results. The reason we're optimistic about this is that if we look at the survival from the study that was single arm, the non-randomized, the phase 2 single arm study that was a multi-institutional trial, not only were the remission rates quite high, but the median duration of remission was about a year, and the median overall survival was 17 and a half months. Now, that kind of survival has not been seen outside of intensive chemotherapy studies for AML in patients over the age of 65. Really, no therapy has done that. And even if you look at patients who had prior MDS, therapy-related leukemias, the survival was maintained, the response rates were maintained. This looked actually as good as anything we've ever seen published from any other study in a non-randomized comparison. And that's always the challenge, is you'd like to compare apples to apples in a prospective randomized trial. But it's a very reasonable regimen in this setting to say that we've seen significant survival from a outpatient-based low-intensity therapy that is at least comparable to anything we see with more intensive approaches.